turn to the epistle of First John, almost back to the Revelation, almost the back of the Bible. First John, chapter 5, verse number 13. I had a couple of things I wanted to say to the graduates. Pastor Nathan's going to be preaching tonight for graduation, but I had a few things I wanted to say this morning, and it really does apply to all of us, which applies to our graduates especially, but it applies really to all of us very well. And I wanted several things I thought about, and how to be successful. You know, that's one of the things you want to teach your graduates. And by the way, having done the will of God is success. You're not compared to anybody else. You're compared to what God has called you to do, whether you did it or not, and whether you did it in His power, whether you try to do it on your own. Having done the will of God is success in life, no matter what it may be. And, of course, you talk about, Psalm 1, and they shall prosper, and Joshua 1:8, whatsoever do shall prosper, have good success. And I was really aiming that direction. And then, for some reason, I just felt like I needed to go another direction. And so, look at this with me. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. Tell you the truth, let's back up to 11, because that's important. Verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Now notice the word given. He hasn't rewarded us eternal life. He's given us eternal life. Okay? Given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It's not in something we've done, not somebody else can do. It's in His Son. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I know the vast majority of the people in here are saved. You're going to heaven. If I ask you to raise your hand, you very, very graciously earnestly raise your hand, and you would say, I know that for sure if I die, I go to heaven. Got that squared away. That's good. But look where this takes us someplace here. We've taken this whole book here. He's talked about some things. It says, this is a record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's pretty clear. You can't say, well, maybe we just do this, or we'll add this, or maybe it's this and this and this. No, you have the Son, you have life. You have not the Son, you have not life. Verse 13. These things, watch, have I written unto you. What? Basically, the summary of what we just saw in the last two verses. He says, I wrote those things to make it very clear. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. That's pretty plain. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Now, and then it says, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. When I always had a problem with that, as younger, looking at that verse, because it sounded like it was just being redundant there. No. What is the establishment of eternal life? Secondly is, you can believe on Him until we get to that heaven. You see, he's talking about two different things here. One is, yes, because we have eternal life, because he's our Savior, we're saved and we have eternal life, and one day we will pass from this life to the next life, and we don't have, by the way, they're not going to stop you at the door like I always say. If they knock on the door and they ask you why they should let you in, what would you say? They're not going to do that. They know where you're going to be. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. But boom, you're there. But the fact is, I'm not going on the next load. So what are we going to do between now and then? Well, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to show up. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad I'm out of high school. I'm glad I'm out of college. 82, 02, 12. I've been out of college the first time over 35 years. My soul. I'm a glutton for punishment, so I was back in college a couple times after that. But the fact is, I'm glad I'm finished raising my kids, I'll be honest with you. I'm glad I'm not ending. I'm not trying to be discouraging. God will give you grace to do what you're supposed to do. But I'm glad I'm just not getting into all this. But the fact is, I do know that what it was like to go through this. To start a job, find what you're going to do in college, and what am I going to do with my life, and where am I supposed to go, and who am I supposed to marry, and all this kind of stuff. We start thinking about these things, it'll drive us bananas. If you're not careful, we'll go back to bed, pull up the covers, and turn out the light. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, folks, whether you're just graduating high school, you're just graduating college, you're just entering into life, or whether you're in the midst of something right now, you're having to make some decisions, the Lord is right there. If you have him as your Savior, you have him as your friend. Now, whether you use him, whether you go to him, whether you make use of that relationship as your business, if you don't, it's a problem. You're going to miss out. He says, so in verse 13, he says, that I want you to know that you have eternal life and that ye may believe on his name. What do you mean believe on his name? He's wonderful. He's counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Almighty God. He's the everlasting Father. And we can go over and over and over and over and over on the names of who he is. You can believe that. That's what he's saying. You can believe who he claims to be. You know that you can believe it. And then you can believe in the name of the Son of God. Well, wait a minute. He's the Son of God. So he can do whatever he says he's going to do. Verse 14. And this, what? What we just talked about there. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Because we have him as our Savior. That's our confidence. He can hear us when we ask in his will. Now, don't ask him for a new Cadillac if you're not supposed to have one. But we can't ask him for a new car if we need one. Or it may be new to us. You can ask. But we have the confidence that we can ask according to his will. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. We can, in other words, we can ask in faith. Nothing wavering, as James talks about. He's our heaven. If you know Christ as your Savior, you have access to the throne of grace. You hear me? Don't let anybody steal that from you. Not the world, not the flesh, not the devil himself. Don't talk yourself out of it. You can come boldly to the throne of grace and find help in time of need. Be careful for nothing but all things with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Why with thanksgiving? Because we know he hears our prayers. See, that's part of the confidence that we have. Every once in a while, you'll be with somebody and you'll hear them pray, and they're starting to shout and thank God for the answer, and they haven't even finished praying yet. That's because they know the Word of God that says he knows what we have need of before we ask. He's been waiting for it. He's got it up in heaven waiting for us to come down. We don't ever ask for it. We have this confidence. Verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. There's a sin he should pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there's a sin that's not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him, that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, again, that little verse in anything, why do you throw that thing on there? What in the world does that have to do with anything? I'll tell you what it has to do. don't trust anything but the Lord God Himself. What is it that you think is going to get you through the day? What is it you think is going to provide your needs? What do you think is going to be your protection? That's an idol. We know we can have confidence that He hears us. Now, turn back just a page to 1 John 2:3. 1 John 2:3. Hang tight with me here. 1 John 2:3. Verse says this, "And hereby we do know that we know Him." Now, I'm not going to get into the second half of that verse right at the moment. I want you to know this. Just want to take this thought, this verse. Hereby do we know that we know Him. Let's have a word of prayer. There's a bunch of blessings that we have to those who know Him. Let's make sure we know Him. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about this. We know that we know Him. We know that we know Him. Father, we thank You again for Your Word, for Your truths. Lord, it would be a blessing. Maybe this will be encouragement to some folks. Might just encourage them to go ahead, and maybe there's been some things they've been meaning to pray and ask You about and ask You for, and just really wondered if You'd even bother to listen, but we just heard from the Word that we can have the confidence that You'll hear us. Maybe there's some folks who say, every time I pray, I feel like He's not listening. Maybe there's an issue here. Maybe this is the one. A lot of folks are trying to face the day, and we've been enjoying the blessings of our country, and now all the crazy things that goes on scares us, and I understand that. But the fact is, we can have confidence as we live if we know that we know You. So Lord, help me to get this point across. May we search ourselves. Lord, search our hearts. Search us and try us and see if there be any wicked way in there. Help us to see what we are. Reprove us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Holy Spirit, do Your work. Lord, we ask You to do Your will. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Today is graduation day around here. And we have several seniors graduating, and some from LCS and some from other institutions. And graduation is the recognition of the completion of a certain level of development. Graduation is. Now, for some folks, they see graduation as the end of learning and the beginning of life. When I graduated from high school, the last thing I wanted to do was go back to college. I mean, the last thing I wanted to do was go to college. But I realized if I didn't do it then, it probably wasn't going to happen. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to go ahead and bite the bullet and I'm going to do it. Some folks see graduation simply as a point of completion of one stage of learning in the midst of many stages or levels of learning, which I think we should. Now, graduation is also referred to as commencement. Commencement is the start or the beginning rather than the finishing. The great philosopher Jed Clampett talked about commencing to do some things time to time. It's the start of things. Now, whether we are about to start a new level of education or simply going to start taking on the full responsibility of adulthood, it is still the crossroads of something new. One of the reasons why I had Miss Ruth sing this song with the choir. If you listen to that first verse, I'm standing at the crossroads and I can make a decision. Now, what am I going to do? Every time we come to a crossroads, we have serious decision to make. We must decide which way we're going to go. Sometimes there's more than one good choice. Sometimes there's only one good choice, and thus the choice is clear. Sometimes all the choices compromise the Word of God, and thus the choice is to stay right where you are. Sometimes there's only one choice that does not compromise the Word of God, and the choice becomes obvious. Sometimes the choice is between trusting the world and trusting the Lord. And again, I think that the choice then is obvious. You trust the Lord. Now, there was a time in my life when I had just finished college. I've told you this story before, but kind of apropos here. I just finished college. I had a choice between whether I was going to trust the world to take care of me and my family, or I was going to trust the Lord to take care of me. Now you say, well, I wasn't trying to get rid of the Lord when I went out to work with the world. But I understand that. But my problem was I thought, well, the world pays better. Now, God doesn't call all of us to be in full-time ministry. I understand that. I have no problem with that. But for me, there was a choice that I had to make. I chose the world. And I was miserable. I won't get into all of it, but I finally went 6 years later. I go back to that same crossroads and took the other road where I should have taken the first time. And frankly, the Lord has taken good care of me all along. I mean, I had Christian people. Listen, I had hardly ever led anybody to the Lord, and I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. And these were people out in soul winners and all kinds of things. They must know what they're talking about. And they said, well, Sterling, you can't live off of what the... I had a choice between working with a Christian school or a public school. Now, for me, I felt to be called to ministry. And sure, so the only reason I didn't go into the Christian school, and I'm not saying everybody's supposed to do that, but the only reason I didn't was because I had some Christians who told me, well, that you can't afford to live off of that. Don't do that to your family. In fact, they said, don't go get a job like that because they're not going to be able to pay anything, and your kids and your wife are going to be miserable, and they're going to get bitter against God, and you're going to lose your kids if you go serve him like that because you're not going to get paid very well, and they're going to be sorry. You know what we did? We finally decided we're going to do what the Lord had to do. And God does provide. And they grew up seeing God provide and seeing God do what only God can do. And there, yes, there were times when we didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. But you know what? The next meal came. And the one after that. God has been good and he takes good care of us. Now, sometimes I think we know more than we really do. In fact, the more that I learn, the more I realize how much more I have to learn. The more that I know, the more I realize how much I don't know. You ever hear the term, I'm sure you have, the word sophomore? You know, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. Sophomore comes from two words. Interesting, it means moronic wisdom. Sophia, so it means wisdom. The more, comes from moronic. He says, so they have moronic wisdom. In other words, they have 1 year under their belt, and yes, they probably know more than they did before when they were a freshman. They probably know more than the other freshmen do. But knowing more than the freshman is no great feat. Sometimes we just know enough to get ourselves in trouble. And sometimes we're sophomore Christians. We think we know it all, and we're trying to do what God wants us to do, but we don't really know what God wants us to do. 1 Corinthians 8 says this. I got a long runway. I've got a couple of points. Just hang tight with me. 1 Corinthians 8 says this, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. In other words, we all think we know what we are talking about often. And often we have no problem informing others about how much we know and what they are doing wrong. He says, we all know, we all have knowledge, but then it says, knowledge puffeth up. But charity, agape, love, edifieth. Sometimes we are more concerned about letting others know how much we know and how smart we are and putting ourselves, patting ourselves on the back, rather than trying to meet the needs of others and building others up in love while not looking to get any credit or to build ourselves up in any way. We have a hard time. In fact, we spend more time telling everybody what we know instead of just being a help to them. Verse 2, it says, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to. In other words, if you think you know it all, It just proves how ignorant you really are. Do you realize an atheist are basically saying they know that in the entire universe, there is no such thing as a God. But they know that. Now, the only one that can really know that is God. So now they're God. But they don't believe in God. But they know everything. They don't believe in another God that knows everything. So they don't believe in themselves. You catch what I'm saying? They are trying to be what they say doesn't exist. God. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. In other words, what we should really be concerned with is not that others know who we are and are impressed, or rather that we, but rather that we are impressing God and that God knows us. And how do you impress God? By being like God. And God is love, not arrogance. Now, when it comes to the things of this world, we hopefully know much more than we started with. Have you ever had to take a test and you wondered if you really knew the information needed that was needed on the test? You think you know, but you want to know that you know. There's going to be a test coming. You think you know, but you want to know that you know. Well, there's one thing that we need to know that's more important than any other knowledge. There's something that we need to know that we know. We need to know him who is life eternal. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, we have not really begun to get wisdom until we fear God. And we will not fear God the way we should until we get to know him. Now, if you know him, you're going to be like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. Woe is me when he saw him in the temple high and lifted up. He said, woe is me. The fear of God is also the beginning of knowledge. We think we are so knowledgeable, but if we do not fear God, we must not have learned anything important yet, because we don't even know who God is. John 17, Jesus was praying. He says he wants us to know him, which is eternal life. Now, I grew up in basically kind of a dead church, to be honest with you. I wasn't Baptist at the time, wasn't Independent Baptist or anything like that, just kind of a mainline denominational church, and they went and did church, you know what I mean? But there were some Christians in the church who had received Jesus as their Savior, and they knew they were saved and going to heaven. Now, they were not perfect. In fact, like all of us, they still had some issues they needed to be purified from, and they knew that. And they gave us, the kids, the gospel almost every week in Sunday school. My dad was rather disenchanted with these Christians who had invaded the church that he grew up in. He would say, how can anyone be so arrogant to say that they know they're going to heaven? How can they be so conceited? And of course, he was assuming works. See, my father knew them, and he knew that they were not perfect. And comparatively, be honest with you, he was probably doing a little better job in life, in character, in ethics, in some areas than they were. But assuming that they were claiming they were saved by being good enough, he knew no one was good enough, and no one is good enough. And those Christians had discovered this. And they knew that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, because Christ died for the ungodly, and they took it. That's a wonderful thing. Now, those folks gave the gospel nearly every week, but they were not ones necessary to offer to sit down with you and go through the scriptures with you one-on-one. Now, as a kid, I knew I needed to get saved. I knew that I was a sinner, for all sin comes short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. I knew that. In fact, I thought I was the only one in the world that wasn't saved yet. I really did. I thought I was the only one hard-headed that wasn't saved. And I'd listen to it, and that little church, they kind of give you all the pieces, and somehow you're supposed to put it together and figure it out, you know. And so I listened to it and so forth, and I knew it. And I knew the facts that Jesus died in my place, and he paid for my sins. And I knew that I had to accept this salvation and trust Jesus as my Savior and that I had to really mean it from my heart. I knew that. My problem was I didn't trust my heart, which really probably is a good thing. I didn't know whether I had truly trusted Jesus as my Savior or whether I was going through the motions and saying empty words. I'd lie awake at night, sometimes even cry, wonder, not go to be able to go to sleep, because I wondered if I had truly trusted Jesus as my Savior or not. I wondered if my heart really meant it. I wondered if God heard me. I wondered if God knew what I meant. I wonder if he knew what I meant. I wonder if I had said the right words in the right way so as to make it work. Almost like some kind of incantation. Oh, yeah, you know, it's funny things that goes through your mind. I truly was seeking the Lord with all my heart. And I know now that all those, you know, I know it humbly, that humble concern was actually evidence of having become a new creation in Christ. I was born again, born of the Spirit of God, regenerated, indwelt, and sealed until the day I see my Lord face to face. And yet I was not sure because I didn't know the Word of God as I should have. Now the Lord was very merciful to me. The Bible says that if we will seek Him, we'll find Him if we seek with all our heart. Deuteronomy says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, that thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Jeremiah 29:13, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Not half-hearted, folks, with all your heart. With all the choices we have in this world, we must choose Jesus. Not add Him to the mass and the mess, but He's the one. No matter how much we know very little if we don't know Jesus. Now, some of you have heard my testimony of how I got saved, and I kind of hesitate to tell it because some folks will seek an experience rather than to seek the Lord with their whole heart. I don't think it was salvation. I think an experience isn't necessarily means you got saved. Experience doesn't necessarily give you assurance. But the Word of God brings salvation to us, is able to make one wise into salvation, and the Word of God gives us the assurance of God's promises of salvation, eternal life, and a life with God. And if we truly know the Lord, we will receive several things. When you really know the Lord, you receive eternal life. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You're also partakers of his divine nature. You receive a way to escape from the corruption that's in the world through lust and sin, 2 Peter 1:4. Since he's given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And it's another thing we get. We can have assurance of our prayers being heard when you're saved. We read it. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. It's almost like, why are you worrying? You can pray. I don't know what we're going to do with it. Well, did you pray? Well, I don't know if it's going to hear me. We have this confidence that if we are in him and we are his child, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We have this confidence. He'll hear us. And listen, it's not arrogance. I deserve none of it. It is all by the mercy and the grace of God. We can have the confidence, not in me, but in him and the promises of his word. Now, that's the runway. Hang tight. We're about to take off. Number one. Ready? Are you sure you know God? Got some questions I want you to listen to. Are you sure? you know God. I'm not saying did you grow up in the church. I'm not saying were you a leader in the youth group or are. I'm asking you, do you know God? I'm not asking if your mom or your dad were Christians. I'm not asking if your grandparents were Christians. I'm not asking if you went to church every day. You had a drug problem. They drug you to church on Sunday morning and drug you to the church on Sunday night and drug you to church on Wednesday. I'm not asking you that. No matter what your background, somewhere along the way, it has to come to a point where you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation. He died and paid for our sins. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall receive the gift that He's already paid for. Are you sure you know God? Now, go back with me. 1 John. You're back in 1 John. 1 John 2:3. Hereby we know that we know Him. Hereby we know that we know Him. There's some things He's going to show us here in this book. In John 5:24, first in John, just stay right where you are. In the Gospel of John 5:24, it says this, "Verily, verily," Jesus says, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? I didn't ask you if you believe in what the Baptist Church teaches, or the Methodist Church, or the Lutheran Church, or the Catholic Church, or the United Church. I'm not asking you if you believe those things. I'm asking if you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all that His name represents, our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the true salvation. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? He died and paid for your sins. Well, that's too good to be true. God did not try to make this difficult. We make it difficult. We try to add this to it and add that to it. We try to pretty it up. Well, I don't like to talk about that. Why don't you like to talk about the blood and about the cross? Because it reminds me that I'm a sinner. It was my sin to put Him on the cross. Well, I'll tell you what, it's good to be reminded of that. It keeps us humble. And God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. I like grace too. I like grace a lot. I can come boldly to the throne of grace when I've been reminded and humbled by the remembrance of who I am and who He is. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you entrusted your eternal soul to the one and only begotten Son of God? Do you know that you know God? You're going to have a difficult time living by faith as you're supposed to do if you're not sure that you are even saved and sealed until the day of redemption. I said there's an awful lot of folks who want to skip right to the prayers and right to the relationship, and they just kind of glance right through this idea of trusting Jesus as their Savior. No. That's the main thing. That's why around here we make the main thing. The main thing, are you saved? You know for sure if you die to go to heaven. If you're outside the gates of heaven, you knocked on the door, they asked you why they should let you in the door. What would you tell them? If it's anything other than the blood of Jesus that paid for all my sins, you're out of luck, Buster. It's nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. We want to live a life that pleases God and has His blessings on us. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And how can we expect His blessings if we are not pleasing Him, and we cannot please Him without trusting in His character and His faithfulness and in His word? And if you can't trust Him for salvation, how can you trust Him for anything else? How do you know if you're doing, if you are in place to have God answer your prayers in life and believe Him? There are going to be many prayers you're going to have to pray over life. How do you know they're going to be answered? These things have I written that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in Him. That we seek anything according to His will, He heareth us, and if we know that He hears whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of Him. If you do not know the Father, you do not have eternal life. In fact, you are dead in trespasses and sins, and you are on your own as far as surviving in this world. The old bumper sticker, Jesus Christ, don't leave home without Him. Do you know? Number two. Do you know the primary purpose for your life? Do you know what the primary purpose is for your life? Here it is, to do the will of God. That's a primary purpose in your life, to do the will of God. To know the God and the power of His might. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be living for Him. Let His life, Him live through us. Listen, we can learn all kinds of things and even be able to apply it and still be unsuccessful in life. What if I gain the whole world and lose my own soul? We have failed, and you have failed. Matthew 16 says, but He turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that are of men. Then He said unto him, His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Listen, we're going to lose it. Success in life is having done the will of God. Not the will of God for someone else's life, but what God has called you to do. You don't have to do what other people have done that we think are successful in order for God to consider that you have been successful. You don't have to do what they're doing. Do you know God? And your purpose is simply to do His will. Number three. I'm going to give you a couple things here. And these are some... I hate to use a litmus test, but there's some qualifications. And John is about to say, all right, if you're a Christian, then here's some things that you know. Here's some things you know that you're a child of God if these things are in your life. All right, now listen to me. These things are not in your life. Either we don't know Him or we haven't added to our faith hardly one iota. Then we don't, if that's the case, we don't even know how in the world to pray in God's will. We don't know God's will. We don't know God. We don't know the Word of God. So number three, you want to know if you know Him. Because knowing is very important. Here it is. Do you take God's word on it, or are you constantly second-guessing God?
I think we ought to second-guess it.
It's God's word. Where did you learn about Jesus? From the Word of God. Where did you learn that He died and paid for your sins? From the Word of God. There's no other book except guys who wrote books who came from the Bible. All right, if you take the Bible never existed, we wouldn't know any of this. Now, if you could take if that's the case, then if you're not willing to take the Word of God on anything else, you can best bet you're not saved. Because all you have is the Word of God, or you're trusting. What in the world do they know if they don't know the Word of God? Watch me. You can look these up with me. 1 John 4:15. 1 John 4:15. We're going to go fast here. 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he is in God. If you have a problem with the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, and thus God Himself, you must not know Jesus, because if you did, you would know this about Him. How can you say you really know someone and not know who His Father is? You need to know who He is. We say we know who God is. Are we second-guessing God? He says He's the Son of God. You're going to second-guess Him? How do you know if you're believing Him? This will develop in a second. Number four. Do you seek to keep God's commands? Do you seek to keep God's commands? If you're a Christian, you know God, you're going to seek to keep His command. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not saying we're going to get everything right. I'm not saying we're not going to even get chicken and do something wrong once in a while. But your heart's going to seek. 1 John 2:3, we read it. And hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Verse 5 says, but whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Listen, if you don't give a hoot about whether it's right or wrong, you can do what you want, don't tell me you know Jesus as your Savior. Now, I know that we can all get to the point we've done some things we shouldn't have done, but we just kind of bow up our back. Say, I'm not doing it. Not going there. You might as well go back and check your salvation. We're going to keep His commandments. 1 John 3:3. Look at this one. 1 John 3:3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested, in other words, Jesus came to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, that word sinneth means a sin and sin and sin and sin and sin and sin and sin. We're all sinners. In fact, the first chapter of verse John said, if you say you have no sin, you make God a liar, truth's not in you. So we still have sin, and we're still going to mess up. But if you could just live in sin, it doesn't matter who to you, you just go on, you better go check out your salvation. Listen, we need to know that we know Him. Now, if we know that we know Him, we have this confidence that He will give us the petition that we ask. But how are you going to face life if you don't know if God's on your side? The whole world's against you and you're trying to do right. Well, listen, it doesn't matter if God's on my side, because greater is He that's in me than He is in the world. That's great, preacher. That's great, preacher. But who's inside you? Do you know that He's in you? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you know? If God's commands are merely optional suggestions to you, they're not absolutes, then you might not be a child of the Father. If you're still passing what God says in His will, if you still pass it by, or you're not really concerned about the Lord's commands, then you may not really be His child. Do you keep His commandments? Here's how we know that we know Him. We seek to obey Him. Number 5, do you love to be around other Christians? Faults and all. When I first came up here, one of the things I just wanted folks to understand, because I don't know, people have different thoughts of what religion is. I said, if you could take all the parts of my spiritual life and put them on a bar graph, you know, I'm doing real well on this one, I'm not doing so well on this one, you know, and I'm doing okay on this one, I'm doing really well on this one, but I'm really losing this, you know. And then we do the same thing to you. Well, you know what, your graph may look totally different than mine. And you know what we do? We stand on our big tall bars there and look down at everybody else on the ones they don't have right. And they're standing there on their big tall bars looking on ours that we don't have right. Well, wait a minute, we're not here to compare ourselves with ourselves, which is not wise. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need to come to know Christ. We all need to love. You say, well, I don't know how you can love Christians, a bunch of hypocrites. Listen, there's never been a Christian that was not a hypocrite sometime or another. By the way, there's never been a person who's never been a hypocrite sometime or another. You know why the church is full of hypocrites? Where did all the people from the church come from? Out there where the rest of them are. No, we're not perfect. We ought to have a desire to be more perfect, to keep it. But the fact is, we should love other Christians. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We don't love Christians because, well, they're not perfect. We love others because what? The mind and the spirit of Christ is living through us, and thus we love just like Jesus loves, sins and all. 1 John 3:14. Let me go a little further. We know that we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelt the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. You like to be around other Christians, faults and all. 1 John 5:2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Listen, to say you can't stand to be around Christians is like saying you don't want to be part of God's family. We're all sinners. 1 John, I'm almost better, you know what it is? In 1 John 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. All God's children are still going to have a certain level of sin in their lives. Why else does the Bible teach so much about forgiveness and restoring such a one in meekness and all the things it goes through? Wouldn't have to. And folks who say that they can be as much of a sinner worshiping away from people and never spend much time with people may not know Jesus very well, because Jesus is meeting with the people where the two or three are gathered. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is. You could say this. Now listen, I understand that we go into something that calls itself a church and has not given you anything in the Word of God, and half or maybe more of the folks aren't saved, and it's just a mess. I understand it's possible. Now, I think I can say this. That's not the way it is around here. We stand up and give the word of God, because that's what I'm commissioned to do. Go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them all things, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm doing here this morning. That's what we're doing. I'll tell you something else. We got a sweet fellowship here. We got good people. Well, I didn't find any friends. Well, who did you talk to? Well, no one talked to me. Well, talk to them. Works both ways. You know, we've got a friendly place around here if you come in and get to know them. Well, I really don't want to get to know them. Well, I know. That's the way it is sometimes. Well, I got in there. You know, I might make friends. I feel like I got to go back. And then that preacher going to tell me about another sin I got to get rid of. And I'm not going to do this. You ought to love the brethren. You ought to be excited about going to church. We get to go to church. We get to go to church. I remember when I found out that I know it's time to get out of here. But I remember when the little Methodist boy found out that there's some places that have church on Sunday night. That's like going to the ice cream store a second time of the week. I'm serious. They're going to open the Word of God, and I'm going to get something out of it. You walk in, and everybody talk to you. They shake your hand. These people like me. Then I found out they have church on Wednesday night in the middle of the week. Cool! You get the idea. Number 6. Trying to find out whether we know that we know him. Do you have a new attitude on life? Do you have a new attitude in life? 1 John 3:24 says this. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. We know that we know him by the Spirit which he hath given us. Have you ever noticed there are certain people you can run across and just know they're saved? The lights are on. It's just the way they act. Just the way they are. You start talking about Jesus. It's like, oh boy, another one, there you go, you know. And besides that, they were just plain friendly to begin with. Listen, you ought to have a good attitude. I had happened just again the other day. I can't tell you how many times I've been someplace, and I didn't look like this. I mean, I didn't have a suit on, didn't have a tie on, didn't even have the hanky just for show, not for blow, in my pocket or anything. All right, I was just out in regular clothes, and he said, "You're a pastor, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." "How'd you know?" "Just looked like one." Frankly, I think it was, you know, all of us. Anyway, I don't just look like one. I can't tell you how many times that has happened. The other day, on Friday, we were having dinner. We went over to Applebee's and had lunch together. And the waitress said, came back. She says, "Are you a pastor?" Now, she actually knew me from someplace else, but I wasn't dressed like this. "You're a pastor, aren't you?" No, I'm 20% off. But anyway, we ought to like being with God's people. We ought to have a new attitude. 1 John 4:13 says this: "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." Is your life emanating the light of Christ so that others can see your good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven? Because that's where such things come from. Or is it not? Is the fruit of the Spirit being produced, not forced? We've talked about that. Artificial fruit don't taste very good. It doesn't taste very good. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." Sometimes Christians don't live any more with love, joy, and peace than the guy down the street. Long-suffering. Do you know how long it took for our waiter to get to us? Do you know how long we've been sitting here? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Living like a Christian is not work any more than it's work for an apple tree to produce fruit. Have you ever walked down? We got Biggerville and all these other places, the orchards. We got some pear trees down our backyard. I've never walked past those things and heard, and walked past a tree and heard, you know, I just. No, they just produce fruit. If you know him, you will produce fruit. As long as you're not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, so that you're getting watered and fertilized with the Word of God, you'll produce fruit. You have a new attitude. Number 7, got to get done here. Oh, my word. If you know that you know, here's how to know that you know him. You want to know more of the Word of God. You want to know more of the Word of God. I can't believe it's 12 o'clock. We'll never be able to beat the holiness people to the restaurants now. Yeah, might as well stay here at dinner time at this point. They want to know. 1 John 4:6. "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us." John's saying, you hear the preachers from the apostles. You're hearing truth from them. "He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of God." If you want to know the Word of God, you got a desire to know the Word of God, there's a good chance you're saved. If you do not have an acute desire to understand truth of God's Word more and more, you may want to revisit your salvation. We got to stop. Let me give a summary. We'll stop. Our verse, we start with 1 John 2:3. It says, "Hereby we know that we know him." We work with others If we know him, if we know him, if we work with others to resolve difficult issues. We seek to live peaceably with all men. But in the meantime, we're not seeking to run those off that disagree with us. We assume that the word of God is true, that only those things which agree with God's word is truth. You will seek to do right, and thus will seek to know God's word, because God's word settles the issue. You will seek to not only know God's word, but to obey God's word. You're going to love being around other Christians. You will not allow others to talk you out of assembling with other Christians, even though you know the other Christians are not perfect either. You forgive. You will have a new attitude, a new outlook on life. And we will be seeing our prayers being answered. Do you know Jesus? Do you know that you know? There's a few things we can look at. Now, they develop. I understand. But those desires, the attitude that we want, should be showing up, the fruit. If there's anything you need to know, it is that you need to know that you know Jesus. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for speaking to hearts. We have some graduates here going into the world, and there's a lot of things that we can know. And they may think they know a lot of things, and they may know some things that I don't know. But there's one thing they need to know for sure, and that is they need to know you.